Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome to the Domestic Abuse Breakthrough Show, where we tackle violence against women and girls through education, empowerment, and hope. Join Kate, a survivor and advocate, as she shares insights, strategies, and stories that inspire healing and action. Together, we'll break the cycle and pave the way for a future of safety and strength. This show contains a trigger warning. And now, here's your host, Kate Beasley.
So welcome back to another episode. And today I am rejoined by the lovely Nicola Noel. Welcome back.
Hi, Kate. How are you, my lovely?
I'm good, darling. So today we are going to tackle the conversation of the horrific situation with the youth violence, and obviously with Nick having obviously experience working with male offenders, and obviously, you know, having her mental health background as well, I just thought Nick was a great person to get on to have this conversation with. My God, Nick, it's just a mess, isn't it? I mean, there's no way to beat about the bush here. It's a mess.
There's so much that has gone wrong with the systems, whether that be the schooling system, whether that be the care system, whether that be the medical system, that we as a community, as public, and that includes children and adults, are being failed so much.
Yeah.
However, when we talk about the situation we're talking about, with the escalation of violence and crime and the perpetrators becoming younger, and at the moment, whether that's just because I haven't looked at the figures, so I could have this totally wrong, but whether it's because of the media portrayal, it seems to be young male offenders.
100% it is, yeah.
That are coming up more.
There actually was one. There was one the other week, which was I want to say she was 15, and it was in South Wales. And
yes,
that was a girl that stabbed two teachers and students. But obviously, as we say, in the main, it is young male offenders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's the odd exception here and there. But
and so what I found with prisons and working in prisons is when they're in the system, it's too late. So when I did the work with the UN and they came in and they were saying, what do we need? What do we need to do? And I was saying, that's a problem. Here is too late.
Yes.
It starts earlier. And when you, there's a small percentage of people who I will say, there's no explanation. They're definitely just born bad. And I know that's not what people like to hear or what people like to say, but that's the truth. But there's a very small percentage. The rest of people, even with the most horrendous crimes they have committed that we can think of, when you hear their history, their trauma,
yeah,
you have to say, I don't know what else you were going to be. So when you see the history, you have to, that you can't help but see why they ended up where they ended up and why they ended up doing what they ended up doing. And the intervention isn't being given at grassroots.
No. And this is what I keep saying all the time. The only way that we're going to address this problem long term is to address it from the ground up. And it starts as early as when the baby's developing in the womb. It starts then. If mum's experiencing abuse, mum's got her own past traumas. Constantly in a hypervigilant state, that's going to have a knock-on effect and an impact on the baby's overall development, the brain development. They're going to be they're primed for danger in the womb. So when you get a child that's coming, being born, and they can't be put down, and everything dysregulates them. This is why.
So when we talking about that, when we talk about hormones, when we talk about neurotransmitters that the baby receives, they are like any other drug. So if we think of a baby that unfortunately would be what we know is like a drug baby, the parent and mother has been taking some sort of substances, whether that be alcohol, whether that be illicit substances, they still have the same effect. So stress, anxiety, and all that still has an effect on the baby. And also, we have to think about the amount of children that we're seeing at the moment that have a diagnosis of autism or being on the spectrum constellation, however we want to call it now. But actually, what we're seeing is alcohol, fetal alcohol syndrome.
Well, and even trauma from the womb, just trauma per se from the womb is what that's all rooted to. I mean, that's something I've always maintained since I trained, is it is trauma from the womb. It's no coincidence that we are finding more and more people, children that are receiving these assessments and being labelled as new as ADHD, autism, or whatever label they've been assigned. It's no coincidence. We are living in a society that is traumatized. Mental health is all mental health issues are on an all-time high.
Absolutely.
It's inevitable. So, is it that we have a society that is all disordered? No, we have a society that is severely traumatized and is not getting the support that they need and the intervention that they need early enough.
And I guess when we look at the pharmaceutical industry is there to make money. All the other things that could be given that don't include the pharmaceutical industry to be able to help us build that resilience, help us be more preventative than cure. Is it being pushed forward? Why would it be?
No, exactly. Yeah, it serves a purpose to keep you struggling and suffering.
I was saying, I was having a conversation a couple of days ago, and I said, "Tell me, when was the last time that you got your recorder out and played Three Blind Mice?" We're doing all these useless things in school, but the things that will teach children something that will help that individual are not being taught. They're not being taught meditation. They're not being taught breathing techniques. All the sorts of things that we know that a child's brain is malleable, has endless neuroplasticity. Imagine the sorts of brains that you would be creating, the generation, the knowledge that we would be creating if we just put those things into place.
the thing is, we calm and regulated is not a natural state that we're born knowing how to do. We need to be taught that. And if you've got caregivers that are constantly in a hypervigilant state, well, that's what they're mirroring all the time. So we need to teach those children how to be calm and regulate, how to manage their own emotions, how to use their own tools to be able to turn that dial down when they feel dysregulated. And again, awareness. A lot of these children don't even have awareness of their own emotions.
And that's what they're not being taught. I mean, especially, and I'll come back to boys, it's either happy or angry. It's not even happy or sad. They're not even being taught that what sadness can look like, what it can feel like. So I often say, when you see an angry man, what you actually see is a sad man. For whatever reasons he's sad for, there needs to be more discussions had. But does it benefit the government in having these discussions, in putting things in place? That means that we start getting a better community. Oh, going back to what was formerly known as community.
I mean, I would love to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that, think that who would possibly want children to suffer? What sort of person would intentionally, and what sort of government would intentionally want children to suffer, knowing that actually it's actually escalating to the point where children are actually having their lives stolen from them, literally. But the evidence would prove that actually, we put that into question. As I said to you before we came on and started recording, there was the Home Secretary told LBC she supported knife arches in schools, but who's going to fund it? Well, you can see clearly see there's a solution. To, I mean, obviously, this we as we know, this problem runs very much deeper than this. But as a short-term measure, ultimately, we want to make sure that children are not getting through those school doors with a knife or anything they can use as a weapon to take somebody's life or injure somebody severely. Well, that's the only way that you can micromanage that is by having those at the entrances. And having bags checked, and every student checked before they come onto the premises. I mean, obviously, that doesn't eliminate the abuse that will be. I mean, obviously, they sugarcoat it as bullying. It's not bullying, it's abuse. That doesn't eliminate that psychological terrorism taking place. Within school grounds, but it at least means that things can't escalate to the point where somebody's going to lose their life. But, and I would have thought that would have been an obvious thing to do. It costs, as we said before, it costs them £2 million to investigate a murder. Every time the police go out, it costs them on average £1,500 every call out. They are wasting money left, right, and centre. And as a result, there's still lives being lost. So it's not as though they're, I mean, it's a bit like obviously it's similar with the NHS, as we know. They are, it's, they waste so much money on cutting corners. And actually, they're not getting anywhere for it. There's no result. That's coming from it. They're wasting so much money. And this is what's happening all around. It's a false economy that's happening wherever we're looking, police, government, schools, NHS. It's just false economy. People are being failed, and this is what's resulting in it.
So let's look at them with their acknowledging that there needs to be knife arches in schools and there needs to be more bag searches, but they're not doing anything preventative, or they're not putting the money into it. Just like there was big talk when we had the King's Speech, and they were going to be putting money into mental health and mental health services. And I said, "Oh my God, what do you think?" And I said, "I'll believe it when I see it."
Exactly what I say to all these things as well, Nick.
And then, I mean, we're some time on, and the scandals keep coming, but I don't hear anything towards what's being done towards mental health, the money that's been put in. How concerned are they really about children losing their lives, about how this has a ripple effect? They've removed, and not just, this has been going on for quite a few years now, but they've removed key pillars of the community. So we don't have youth clubs anymore. We don't have the leaders in the community like we used to have anymore. So whether you could find them at a youth club or any sort of youth project that's happening, they've started to remove all these individuals and have done for quite some time. So where do kids go? Well, they go to where it's glorified. And where is it glorified? It's glorified within gangs and gang culture. Because where, the community is not going to look after you, but we're your community now. We're going to look after you.
And this is it, these children have self-esteem issues, abandonment issues, and this is why they end up getting involved with the wrong groups because they're looking for that sense of belonging. So if they it means engaging in things that genuine ordinarily they don't agree with, if it means sacrificing and being made to feel as though they're being rejected and being abandoned and not worthy of being part of their friend group, they're not willing to sacrifice that. That great represents the greatest pain of all to them. They will do whatever it takes to avoid feeling that pain. It's a ripple effect.
And the things they'll do, as we're now seeing with the escalation in violence and violence against women and children. Abusive, coercive control. This is the norm.
And it goes back to everything that I keep saying all the time is that abuse is so normalized in society. It's normalized amongst our children. And unless we educate them as to what is acceptable and not acceptable, and what is abuse and what does constitute a crime, how on earth are they supposed to know? They're not supposed to know that. And actually, this is something that needs to be reinforced, repeatedly with them, from, age appropriate, of course, but this needs to start from very, very young ages with an age appropriate delivery and reinforced every single academic year so that it isn't forgotten. It isn't ignored. It needs to be a repeated thing that they're teaching these children. And again, it needs to be a regular. I mean, it would serve them so. I mean, one thing the schools care about is their academic achievements, their academic reputation. Well, if you care so much about your academic performance, you would get a better result if you made the children's mental health a priority because they will retain information better. And they will recall information better. A child that is dysregulated, operating from the emotional part of the brain, as we know, thinking brains offline is not going to, it's not there. You can be teaching away and they're not going to be taking anything in.
Well, you know, when emotion's high, intelligence is low.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the more they drift further and further behind academically, the more those internal wounds and those internal self-dialogue and negative self-talk is being highlighted more and more. And the more they feel inadequate, the worse this problem's going to get. It's
It
a
just
vicious circle.
compounds and compounds and compounds.
Yeah.
And if they'd just intervene, if they would just, like we have, say, 1 to 2 generations of parents who don't know how to parent properly,
No.
who
Well,
have never been taught.
but they're afraid to discipline their children. I mean, there's so many parents that are afraid of their own children.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because they trigger their wounds. So it's easier just to give in. It's easier to let them get away with that behavior.
Yeah.
And I understand it. Don't get me wrong, I totally get it. You know, and us having the background that we've had with children, we've experienced that. So we understand it.
But also, they're not
Awful.
being given the support, though, are they? Because when you look at what
No.
happens in schools, when something's maybe not going right within the child's journey in school, the first thing is positive parenting course. It can't possibly be because actually the child's not thriving in that environment, whether because there's additional needs or there's an additional diagnosis that needs to be met. But parents are often met with, "It's your fault," rather than, "How can we help you?
Yeah,
How can we
exactly.
support you to
Yeah.
change that environment to help the child, the flower, grow accordingly?" Not trying to change the child, but changing the environment. And there seems to be so little places that are willing to do that now, that are willing to help people create the change that's needed.
So we're just going to break for a short interval and we shall continue this conversation when we get back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. It's gone about the completely wrong way. I mean, positive parenting, just that is a lot of why we have the problem that we have, because children are not being they're not learning that actually bad behavior was, you know, carries consequences. And it's not a case of your children should not be scared of you. We don't want children to be scared of their parents, and nor should they ever be, because that's a problem in itself. But they should learn boundaries, learn to respect boundaries and respect rules. And unfortunately, we can't go through life just doing what we want. That's not how life works. And that's why, things end up happening. The more they get away with, the stronger their entitlement becomes. And the more they learn that actually, well, that behavior gets my needs met. And all I want to do is feel better about myself. I don't care about your feelings. I just don't want to feel these wounds. Well, if they're taught that actually that behavior gains results, gains rewards, as we know, the brain works on risk and reward, doesn't it? Well, if it gains rewards, it's going to keep doing it.
As long as that maladaptive behavior gets them whatever result they want in mind, they'll continue to do. And I suppose to a certain degree, like, I'll disagree with you, because I do think to have right. So I think the problem at the moment is that children don't have any fear. So I think it's good to have, when I say a healthy amount of fear, you should be fearful of what your parents might, when I say might think, as in, if you do something that's blatantly wrong, you shouldn't be like, oh, well, it's no. You should be, and
There's
that's
no
because
respect, is what
there's
it
no,
is. There's no
yeah,
respect.
there's lack of respect. And what I'm not saying for all the listeners is that fear equals respect. That's not
No,
what
it
I'm
does
saying.
not. No, because
But
perpetrators, that's what perpetrators, in their minds,
yeah.
when if somebody fears them, in their minds, they translate that as, well, I'm
Yeah.
respected. And the two are very different.
Yeah, very,
That's,
very,
yeah, that's not respect.
very different. But they're not being taught to have respect equally through over the years. More and more parents' rights have been taken away to the point where they're no longer allowed to chastise their child. I'm going to say chastise, I don't mean get a belt out and start beating your child. You know exactly what I mean, but discipline their child.
Yeah, parents tread on eggshells because they're fearful of the local authorities and getting the wrong end of the stick and being accused of abusing the children. And you literally walk on eggshells.
And what we're doing is, I say we, the well, we I certainly didn't, but what I'm seeing is we're raising weak generations, because, and Carol Dweck speaks about this in her book Mindset, weak generation, as in they have to be, have employee of the month, they have to have, employee of the week, they have to have a pat on the back for turning up to work. You are doing your job. They are not building, they are not creating any sort of resilience. So when something goes wrong, so let's take it back to our original topic of conversation about the rise in violence against women and children. So essentially, when a boy or a man is told no, their ego's so wounded because they haven't had the resilience, they haven't had to face adversity. What happens? Oh, you told me no.
How dare you?
Me? No, I'm going to show you, because I've had positive parenting where we say, we don't do that. There's no actions or consequences like smacking a puppy on the nose or spraying a cat with a water bottle. There's none of that. It's just, no, we don't do that. And so therefore they feel that they're entitled to, and you see it more and more with the lack of respect in the younger adults. And I want you, let's go past the young adults. I'm talking about children who are being feral. However, when we go to the schools or whatnot, they're not being given the help and support
No.
that they need to be able to learn those parenting skills. Because if they weren't parented correctly, they have no idea. But rather than people stepping in to break the cycle and help them, they're being punished, so they're not going to come forward, and then that child's going to continue with that behavior, and then we end up with risky males and females.
Well, they're seeking that dopamine hit, aren't they, through risky behavior all the time, and that goes for both sides. I mean, I know we, I mean, if you've got, I mean, it's not uncommon. I was only speaking to somebody the other day about this. It's not uncommon for, young girls to be drawn to older men, because boys their own age aren't. They're too mature for them, and I mean that's been like that since we were kids. I mean we were always attracted to older boys. It's just the way it is. But those girls will be attracted to the risky behavior, the dopamine hit, because they're conditioned for that. That's what they're conditioned to. Their whole childhood has been conditioned for disrespect. That's normal to their nervous system. So then they get involved with the bad boy. They're getting that dopamine hit. Intelligently, they may think, "Oh, well, I actually don't like the behavior, but I can fix them." But the body's still getting that dopamine hit, that dopamine high. And it's like any drug. It is a drug. Dopamine is a drug in itself. Yeah.
And the more they get it, the more they want it.
Exactly. And it's replacing what people always forget is it's like with any addiction. We've got to replace that dopamine hit, that dopamine source, with something healthy. And that's where the mindfulness and the mental health exercises and the regulation exercises, that's where they come in. That is your healthy source of dopamine. I mean, even putting your headphones on and listening to positive, uplifting music, that can be your positive source of dopamine. Having a dance around the room with your headphones on, that can be your source of dopamine. And switching off from the world and zoning out that inner chatter that's going on. But we
Just
need to
get,
replace it.
yeah, and getting even getting them out doing exercise,
Yeah.
doing sports, doing something to, together with their peers. Like they spend so much time with screens, which is more than half the problem, because that's where they're getting access to information as well. So they spend so much time in an alternate universe, so to
Yeah.
speak, that a lot of them are not, are just they're not in touch with reality.
No. Well, some schools, and I mean, I know there's some private schools, they insist upon in secondary school, they have to have a laptop in school. They have to have a phone in school. I'm sorry, but why do they need a phone in school? They're within your care. Why do they need a phone in school? They don't need a phone in school. And it's just encouraging that behaviour. It's encouraging them to Google at playtime, at break time, all sorts. And this is where they're being exposed to, whether it be, I mean, you can guarantee it'll be taking place. The boys will be going on the phones and they'll be bringing up porn and they'll be sitting there together watching porn movies. Yeah, we know it'll be happening.
And that's the scary thing, is it's not, you can put all the security, restrictions on there, but there's still ways of, and they're smart enough to know how to bypass it.
Well, this is it. This is it. It is, the knife arch is managing the escalation on school grounds, but it doesn't deal with the overall problem as to why this is happening in the first place. And these kids leave school. They don't just stay. Once they leave school, you can't micromanage that. I mean, Christ, there was a 12-year-old that was stabbed by a 14-year-old the other week on the on walking home from school, wasn't there? So, the knife arch isn't going to resolve that problem. I mean, he could quite he could they could quite easily hide knives in places outside school grounds and go through the knife arch and not be detected, get off school grounds, and then do whatever they intend to do. All it's doing is micromanaging some of the escalation. and reducing the opportunities for escalation to take place. But ultimately, we need to deal with the root cause of this. And it starts with education and nurturing and taking care of their mental health and making it a priority.
And that's the thing, they don't want to acknowledge that actually, since COVID, children's mental health has absolutely, I mean, along with adults, but children more so, we are looking at a generation of children who do not know how to interact, who do not know how to behave, who no longer know social norms. It's quite scary, and it's scary the amount of resources. And we know this, we know we have a problem because of the lack of socialization during COVID, and to a certain extent that hasn't returned, because a lot of things that shut down during COVID haven't returned, whether it's high street shops, whether it's community groups or so forth, they haven't returned.
Yeah, that lack of socialization, it really did a lot of damage with the I mean, it did a lot of damage for everybody, but more so with the children need that social interaction. And I know we heard a lot of where kids were, I mean, obviously we know it takes place anyway, but there was a rise in kids abusing their parents during lockdown because of that sheer frustration of, well, I want to go and see my friends. And I want to be, or I want to be going to football club. I want to be going to dance class or whatever club they were doing. Everything stopped. Their routine, just kids thrive on routine. That's it. Every professional talks about this that deals with, children and care and safeguarding. Children thrive on routines. Well, they were deprived of that. That's come at a price. And let's be honest, I think it's definitely since then we've seen a rise in these violent acts. I mean, it would have still been there, but I think we've seen a rise in it since lockdown of youth
Oh yeah,
violence.
so during lockdown, the rates of homicide escalated,
Yeah, they
and
did. Yeah.
the rates of violence against women and children, especially in the home, because that's where we were, skyrocketed to the point where it wasn't unmanageable. It was barely manageable before, but it was definitely unmanageable. And what lockdown also brought to the forefront is the amount of people in positions of power. So whether they be in police service, armed forces, fire service, prison service, that were actually perpetrators of crime.
We're just going to break for another short interval, and we'll see you after the break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. I mean, obviously, like we know, I mean, the stats, I mean, they come out with obviously acknowledging that we were in a national crisis when it comes to violence against women and girls. This has been the case for a long time, hasn't it? So is it that they've come out with these comments because actually the figures are maybe rising and maybe it's getting harder for them to ha keep them out, creeping into the media? So because there's more coming into the media and more's coming to the attention of the public, have they been left with no option but to say we're in a national crisis? Now, I take the same thought process and with the youth violence and crimes in schools. Now, it wasn't that long ago that there was a couple of schools that got these random emails making threats of terrorist attacks on the school. Can you remember? Yeah. And it was from that point that they started to do these lockdown drills with the kids, hiding under tables, and it was in case of a terrorist attack. Now, I may be barking up the wrong tree here. However, I don't believe in too many coincidences, Nick. I think it's possibly a similar situation to what we've just discussed in terms of the violence against women and girls. Have they used that as a reason to? They've known that these incidents are coming more and more in schools. They know they have to have a lockdown protocols in the event of these things happening. And rather than risk putting the fear of God up everybody and also raising people's awareness to it, they've possibly used that as an excuse, the terrorist attacks on the schools, as a reason to start these lockdown drills, knowing that actually the problem's becoming too big, that they can't hide it for much longer. That's what I think is happening. And I may be wrong, I may be completely wrong, but it just seems too much of a coincidence to me.
Well, they're saying they're doing all these drills. But unfortunately, long gone are the days where things like Dunblane were just a tragedy that happened once in never. And, it was just, last week, if there wasn't a stabbing in a school every day, every other day, and that was up and down the UK. So these figures have to go somewhere. These figures have to be reported on. And now they are going to find it very difficult to hide the evidence. I mean, social media is a wonderful thing, it's also an awful thing. So at the moment that these, near enough from the moment this happened, but these crimes or the violence happens, it's known of instantly on social media in the palm of your hand. So now they don't have control of what's been reported and where and when it's been reported. So unfortunately, now there's a knee-jerk reaction and they're doing all these drills. And yes, they might see that as preventative, but what they're actually doing is putting a cure in place
It's
or
a sticky
trying to.
sticky plaster approach, isn't it? That's all it is, a sticky plaster. Okay, so in the event of, well, I mean, the school that in the Sheffield school, that school went into lockdown the week before because the same perpetrator, the same offender, there was an out and a violent outburst involving him. Well, I guarantee you that won't have been the only time that's happened. So
Well,
why
it's like,
have you done something before? Why is it why are you, why does it need to escalate to the point where a child loses their life?
because it's services not coming together, it's services not talking. So when we look at Valdo Calcone, so the gentleman who was paranoid schizophrenic in Nottingham, who obviously murdered those three people, and when we look at Rudy Caban, and again was referred to services multiple times, and multiple times everybody said, "That's not my problem. It's not my problem."
Well, the school were aware of these issues with him, with Axel Ruby Bikarne. And I said that when it happened, I said they guarantee there'll be a paper trail of behaviours that have gone unchecked. And
Yeah.
rest assured, there was.
And so it was just like, Valdo Calcone, he was a paranoid schizophrenic, means he what would cl be classed as secondary care, which means he has a severe and enduring diagnosis. And because a paranoid schizophrenic told them that he was scared of needles, they decided to bypass a community treatment order and not enforce him to have medication, because a mentally unwell person is saying they're scared of needles. And they also decided to bypass the risk that was there, the risky behaviour. And then, just on top of that, for good measure, let's refer him back to the GP.
And I think before we close off, I think that's the final the final message is that it needs to stop this excusing dangerous behaviors on the grounds of mental health. This needs to stop. It has to stop. At the end of the day, it doesn't. Let's assume they're not in control of their actions, and they're not, and they have no idea what the impact it's having on others. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Either way, we have a person who is a danger and a risk to other people, and somebody has to take accountability.
And manage that.
Yeah. Whether and it's a problem between the clinical and medical arena and the legal arena that actually neither one wants to take responsibility. What ends up happening is, and again, we have the school system, the social care system, they all want to excuse that behaviour. But ultimately, everybody's forgetting the fact that regardless of what label somebody's been assigned, that behaviour is putting others at risk, and it needs to be contained one way or another.
And we have a duty of
Yeah,
care.
we do. Yeah.
And as professionals, the bigger issue that's happening is how, like, again, how many times can we have a Victoria Klimbo? How many times can we have a baby P? How many times do we need to go through these situations before we realise that actually communication is paramount to solving these issues or making headway with it?
And this is where we need the ground level services like teachers, safeguarding leads, social care. They need the skills to be able to effectively risk evaluate, as opposed to forming opinions, uneducated opinions, or rash decisions, that's not necessary. It's about let's find a solution to Why is a child behaving in this way? That's what ultimately we need to establish. Why
Yes.
are they behaving? They're not behaving in that like that for no reason. Let's address this early, and then we avoid escalating behaviors.
Yes.
If they're acting out, we need to establish why, and that is everybody's responsibility, including parents. Parents need to stop making excuses for their children's behavior as well. Everybody does. It's like, well, okay, if the child's acting out, why are they acting out? Let's get to the bottom of what the root cause of this problem is. Teach them that actually that behavior isn't acceptable in life. We can't go around behaving that way.
Absolutely.
And support them and give them what they need whilst also reinforcing healthy boundaries. And that's ultimately what is needed. And if we leave it too long, as you rightly pointed out at the beginning of the episode, is once it gets to a certain point, the opportunity's gone. This has to be addressed in its infancy stages. The later we leave it, the harder it is to address. Yeah.
And I think we're hitting that point now. We really are hitting that point now because the numbers and the rise in incidents and how rapidly it's all happening would suggest that
Yeah.
we're coming close, if not beyond, crisis point.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you, darling. It has been a wonderful, as always.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll catch you all on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of this vital conversation. If you feel inspired to take action and support women, girls, and children affected by abuse, please visit the show notes in Kate's bio on UK Health Radio. There, you can register your interest in becoming a certified trauma-informed expert, specialising in topics that address this ever-growing crisis. Together, we can shape a safer future for those who need it most. Until next time, stay strong, stay informed, and remember, you are never alone.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.